This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Judge Robart's decision, effective immediately, effective now, puts a halt to President Trump's unconstitutional and unlawful executive order.
That's a temporary stop to Trump's immigration order, while Florida Governor Rick Scott appears to be on the fence about the whole issue.
My goal is, with President Trump, that we have a system that, one, we keep Americans safe, and we continue to welcome people that want to come here and help us build our country.
Republicans turn against Trump's pick for education secretary.
I have a great deal of respect for Mrs. DeVos. I simply cannot support her confirmation.
But Florida's former education commissioner, Gerard Robinson, argues DeVos should be given a chance.
We reject the notion that only someone who has been part of the existing education establishment is qualified to lead.
And when it comes to people on the move, one of our former guests takes a big job in the Trump administration. All that and more coming up on episode 93 of The Rotunda.
Next on C-SPAN, the Daily White House Press Briefing with Press Secretary Sean Spicer.
Melissa McCarthy has officially taken the spotlight away from Donald Trump. Well, more so Alec Baldwin, with her breakout performance as White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer on Saturday Night Live.
When I say Rocky starred, I mean it in the sense of Rocky the movie, because I came out here to punch you in the face, and also I don't talk so good.
I have a feeling this role will not be a one-hit wonder. Her spot-on impression will likely be back again and again.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about the travel ban on Muslims.
Yeah, it's not a ban.
I'm sorry?
It's not a ban. The travel ban is not a ban, which makes it not a ban.
But you just called it a ban.
Because I'm using your words. You said ban.
Respect Putin.
I do respect him.
Do you? Why?
Well, I respect a lot of people, but that doesn't mean I'm going to get along with them.
President Trump is again facing criticism for his continued admiration of Russian President Vladimir Putin. This is Trump talking with Bill O'Reilly on Fox News.
He's a leader of his country. I say it's better to get along with Russia than not. And if Russia helps us in the fight against ISIS, which is a major fight, and Islamic terrorism all over the world.
Right.
Major fight. That's a good thing. Will I get along with him? I have no idea.
It's very possible. He's a killer, though. Putin's a killer.
A lot of killers. We got a lot of killers. Why, you think our country's so innocent?
That comparison is being rejected by both Democrats and Republicans. Senator Marco Rubio went to Twitter and asked, when has a Democratic political activist been poisoned by the GOP, or vice versa? We are not the same as hashtag Putin. This will likely be the topic of the week. Heck, it's been the topic for the entire election. Following up from our last episode, which, by the way, if you haven't listened yet, stop where you are and listen to episode 92 with immigration attorney Elizabeth Ritchie. Don't worry, you can pick right back up where we are right now. Just pause and you'll be fine. All right, a big update. A federal judge in Seattle has temporarily blocked President Trump's immigration order.
It is not the loudest voice that prevails in a courtroom. It's the Constitution. Judge Robart's decision, effective immediately, effective now, puts a halt to President Trump's unconstitutional and unlawful executive order.
That's Washington State's Attorney General Bob Ferguson.
Ordination of laws. Folks may not everybody may like this decision. I'm certain the president will not like this decision. But it is his job, it is his responsibility, it is his obligation as our president to honor it. And I'll make sure he does.
When it comes to Trump's original order, Florida Governor Rick Scott has been on the fence.
We know that the system we have today is not working.
On one hand, Scott proclaims the state is a melting pot, rich in diversity. But at the same time, he says the immigration system does not work. Let's listen to his complete response to the question posed by Dara Khan with News Service of Florida.
With all of the concern about the president's executive order about immigration, Florida is a state with so many immigrants. Are you worried about what that might mean for tourism? Are you concerned about what Floridians might think in your association with the president?
So, it's important to us because of the people who live here. But the problem, and we have to be the best melting pot in the world. 45-year low on our crime rate, 250 languages spoke. If you look at who's moving to our state, there's a lot of people from moving outside the country here. Now, let's put it in perspective. We love tourists, but our immigration system is a disaster. There's no sense to it. And so it didn't get better under President Obama. My goal is with President Trump that we have a system that, one, we keep Americans safe, and we continue to welcome people that want to come here and help us build our country. That's part of, I mean, this state is completely tied to the world economy. I mean, look at the number of people we've lived here. I just saw a number that about a third of the people that moved here last year to Florida moved from another country.
This is The Rotunda. While listening, you should also move on over to rotundapodcast.com for up-to-the-minute news updates and a simple way to lend your generous financial support to this program. That's rotundapodcast.com.
If you want to understand how business works, you market things. You market. If you want to get more jobs in the state by getting companies to move their corporate office here, move the regional office, do more manufacturing jobs, it's a process. You're competing. We're not the only place that people can go. We got great weather. We had great weather back in 2010 when we lost all those jobs. So yeah, those two things I care about a lot.
Governor Rick Scott will be busy defending the role of the state public-private tourism agency, Visit Florida, and the state's business recruitment agency, Enterprise Florida.
What was the rationale for jumping their budget from roughly $25 to $28 million a year to $80 million a year? Why all of a sudden, in one area of governance, do we have in essence, 200% jump in a budget? Why don't we have that 200% jump in education funding?
As we've been following, that's House Speaker Richard Corcoran, who has made it clear he's not a fan of what he calls corporate welfare and the amount of funds being used to market the state. Now that sets up a big fight in the upcoming legislative session, which starts March 7th. A 172-page bill, which goes before the House Careers and Competition Subcommittee this week, would abolish, do you hear that? It would abolish Visit Florida and repeal laws that establish and govern Enterprise Florida. So that's the House leadership position. Is it just posturing? A show of strength? A threat? I'm sure it's all of the above. Corcoran has also called these business recruitment incentives de facto socialism. So he means business. Here's what's at stake. Scott's state budget proposal to be considered by lawmakers includes $85 million for business recruitment incentives, $76 million for Visit Florida tourism marketing, and $19.5 million for operations and job creation at Space Florida. Scott's budget also includes $23.5 million for the daily operations at Enterprise Florida. So all of that as it stands, per this bill, is on the chopping block, and you can bet other interests are lining up to get those funds. Maybe Florida's Department of Corrections, or the Department of Children and Families. They have long been expressing needs, many sessions pass, and due to their conditions, especially over at DOC. Either way, brace for the battle ahead, and we're actively working to get Visit Florida's new president, Ken Lawson, on the program to discuss the benefits of marketing the state to the world. Stay tuned. This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Visit rotundapodcast.com to learn how you can be one of our premier sponsors of this nonpartisan public affairs weekly program. I have some exciting news to share from one of our recent guests, Jesse Panuccio, who, by the way, did his first ever media interview on this program. He is now headed to Washington to serve as Principal Deputy Associate Attorney General in the Trump administration. This is the third highest ranking official at the Department of Justice.
the term lobbying was coined here because they would meet in the lobby to ask the president for things, and so that's where the term came from. And I think it's one of the great places to come and meet with people and talk about politics and break bread and have a drink. So we've landed in one of the real landmarks of Washington, D.C.
So last time I interviewed you, you were with the Department of Economic Opportunity a couple of times, and then your swan song from there. What are you up to now?
Well, yes, I was. You were one of my last interviews as I was leaving, and I'm now practicing law in Miami and Washington, D.C. with Foley and Lardner, and building a practice and having a great time representing clients back in the courts of our state and around the country.
So what you're here, you're obviously excited as a conservative to see Donald Trump, the president of the United States, after months of saying president-elect, or has it been months or a long time it seemed, like president-elect, it's official. He's president.
It's official, and I will tell you, having seen a few different inaugurations in Washington, it is always something to behold in our country, the peaceful transition of power, to see the pomp and circumstance around it, to come be in this city and see the buildings and the people of government. It is awe-inspiring, and you know, as a conservative, I am hopeful that many of the things that I didn't agree with in recent years are going to be reversed. I think we're looking at a cabinet with many great appointees. The people I'm seeing going into government are first rate in every way, and so I think it's a hopeful time and a hopeful time for the country, and hopefully we're going to be on a good track going forward.
You know, I should have known during our interview on episode 91 why he was being so cautious and diplomatic in his responses. Anyway, congratulations to you on the new post, Jesse, and I look forward to another chat about DC politics right there at the Willard Hotel. And that, folks, that's what this program is all about. We track the people and issues shaping Florida politics. And Jesse Panuccio, one of the rising stars, is continuing to make big waves in his career.
This is not a decision that I have made lightly. I have a great deal of respect for Mrs. DeVos. I simply cannot support her confirmation.
Betsy DeVos is walking a thin line into her confirmation hearing to become U.S. Education Secretary. Republican Senator Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski are breaking away from the party in a vote against her nomination.
I have heard from thousands, truly thousands of Alaskans who shared their concerns about Mrs. DeVos as Secretary of Education. I conclude my remarks to make clear that my colleagues know firmly that I do not intend to vote on final passage to support Mrs. DeVos.
So DeVos, Trump's controversial pick, has been skewered by Democrats during confirmation hearings for her lack of experience. Here is a taste of the questioning, first by Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Mrs. DeVos, do you have any direct experience in running a bank?
Senator, I do not.
Uh-huh. Have you ever managed or overseen a trillion-dollar loan program?
I have not.
How about a billion-dollar loan program?
I have not.
Okay, so no experience in managing a program like this. Have you ever taken out a student loan from the federal government to help pay for college?
I have not.
Have any of your children had to borrow money in order to go to college?
They have been fortunate not to.
There's been a lot of opposition coming from labor unions and education rights groups calling for other Republicans to stand against her nomination. As it stands, it will be a 50-50 toss-up, with Vice President Mike Pence set to be the tiebreaker to make DeVos Education Secretary.
We reject the notion that only someone who has been part of the existing education establishment is qualified to lead.
That's Florida's former Education Commissioner Gerard Robinson stepping up with his support for DeVos.
There are two things we have to keep in mind. First, senators opposing her are motivated by politics. The senators opposing her nomination are doing so because they're wedded to the defenders of the status quo.
Robinson is calling on Florida's senators, particularly Bill Nelson, a Democrat, to support DeVos' nomination. He makes his case during a teleconference touting her 30 years of experience fighting for equity in education.
Because of her work to expand charter schools, voucher schools, virtual schools, tax credit programs, and education savings accounts. Hundreds of thousands of children that had been trapped in failing schools were able to access a quality education. And she also supports traditional public schools as well.
One of those beneficiaries is Denisha Merriweather, a former Step Up for Students scholarship winner who grew up on the east side of Jacksonville, Florida.
According to statistics, I was destined to drop out of high school, let alone graduate from college. And I've shared my story many times about how receiving a school choice scholarship helped me turn my academics around and escape the generational pull of poverty. But now that I'm in grad school, I really understand that education is only one of the symptoms of harmful policies that were put in place a while ago that contribute to the disparities of low-income communities.
Merriweather sat right behind DeVos during her confirmation hearings.
I was saddened that only a few elicited the success of her work with low-income students like me. They asked her questions through that deficit-based model, and as I sat there, directly behind her, along with many other students who benefited from her commitment and empowering parents, I must say that some of those comments seemed to question the credibility of our schools, the credibility of my diploma, and my ability to escape generational poverty.
Also speaking in support of DeVos is Julio Fuentes, president and CEO of the Florida State Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. But I wanted to know from Florida's former commissioner his thoughts on the politics leading up to the nomination.
Well, that's one of the great things about American democracy is that we can have diverse opinions about one person. Now, just take a look at John King. He's been in office close to a year. He had, I believe, a 49-40 vote. It was also very close. He was someone, in fact, who had experienced the public school sector, had attended public school himself, and still partisan politics played a way. There were Democrats from his own state of New York who did not vote for him, and yet there were Republicans who did the same thing. We had two Republicans on the HELP committee who voted yes to have her move out of committee and then said, but there's no guarantee that we'll vote on the floor. And so we're seeing politics at play. So that's just par for the course. It's also worth noting that those two senators are one of the only two Republicans, although one's independent and former Republican. But let's just say these are two Republican voting senators who also are the only two to receive very great grades or notice from the National Education Association. So Republicans do it. Democrats would do the same thing. It's very close. If, in fact, it's a tie, then Vice President Pence will step in, break the tie, and she will become Secretary of Education.
So, fellow Robinson, what do you say to those who are very outspoken against the confirmation?
For those who are speaking against her, I want to thank them for speaking their truth. I've talked to a number of my friends, some Republicans, some Democrats, some other, who said we just don't like the fact that she's so school choice, and we don't think that's a good place to be, and so I respect them for speaking the truth. I've had friends, Democrats, Republicans, and others who support her. This is a good lesson for us in civics because it particularly provides the American people an opportunity to ask one really good question. What do we want to see in a Secretary of Education? Now, if you look at the fact that the Department of Education, as we know it today, was created in 1979, and we've had at least 10 Secretaries of Education, people, in fact, probably are unaware that the majority of the 10 secretaries were not public school teachers. The majority were not high school principals. The majority were not superintendents. In fact, one was a state commissioner, but that was for higher education. Only a couple of them were reformers in the traditional sense. And so if you look at that, you know, from 1980, you realize that she, in fact, is in the norm of what we've looked at as secretaries, someone who was, quote unquote, not from the traditional education establishment. I'd love to see candidates who've come from a traditional public school background become the Secretary of Education, but I also don't believe that that's the only pathway to that seat. We're a diverse nation with diverse pathways to gain middle-class status, and if we have someone from a private school sector and also from a business school perspective or a private sector perspective, that's important. Now, remember, she's going to be one of the few secretaries of education to come in with a very nuanced understanding of how to manage complex organizations. And the Department of Education, federal and state, are very complex organizations. And so she's going to be able to bring in a new worldview that can support public schools as well as traditional schools. So for me, I think it's led to a healthy conversation. It shows why diversity of opinion matters. And when the process is ultimately over and the politics and the rhetoric begins to subside, then we as a nation need to get behind our secretary and see what we can do to make education better. We're not going to agree on everything. You know that as well as I do. But we've got to agree that if we want to make America greater, it's going to be with education at the forefront.
That's Gerard Robinson, Florida's former education commissioner and current resident fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, where he works on education policy issues, including choice in public and private schools. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Special thanks to our guest and our hardworking intern, John Hines. Send us a tweet at Rotunda Podcast, leave a comment on Facebook, just search The Rotunda, or like our photos on Instagram at Rotunda Podcast. Remember to visit rotundapodcast.com to support this program, and don't be shy, share it with your friends, and be sure to join us again next week right here for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.